What a privilege for us to gather in this incredible place, this beautiful church, and to remember the event that completely changed the course of human history. And in my own life, you know, I've had my journey with our Blessed Mother. I told you before, if you go to St. Thomas, that I was raised with a lot of non-Catholics who tried to make me suspicious of Mary. You know, you guys worship Mary, and she distracts from Jesus. So I met my first pilgrimage in 1999, and had one very desperate intention: Lord, heal this relationship, because I don't feel like I have a relationship with Blessed Mother, and I'm suspicious of her, and that certainly there's something wrong with me. A lot of things wrong with me. And he totally overly did answer my intention. I came back from that first trip just on fire, and I will never ever doubt that Mary always leads to Jesus. And that's why when we've had heresies in the church, you know, the Lord gave us the rosary through St. Dominic to fight the Albigensian heresy, because where Mary is, Jesus is. And she's a sign and reminder that the Word became flesh, and I love, like George said, and is dwelling among us, not dwelled as in past tense, is dwelling among us through the members of the body, through his church. And she's a strong advocate and intercessor when it comes to deliverance ministry. Satan absolutely hates her. Has a conniption fit when she comes on the scene, because she is the new Eve who crushes his head. So I've just been so blessed since that first trip in 1999, and the blessings just keep coming. And the more you reflect on our Blessed Mother, the more excited you get about our own vocations, because we've all been chosen, called by name to do something great for God. And so let me just highlight three things about our Blessed Mother, the school of Mary, as St. John Paul II used to say. First and foremost, she teaches us to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. She was a woman of deep prayer and put God first in her life and all things. And there's a great book by two authors, one of my very favorites, and then one that I like. The first is Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, and then the second is Hans-Werner von Balthasar, a Swiss theologian, who John Paul II just loved too. And they're both wonderful writers, but at the very first chapter, he talks about how we don't allow receptivity in our lives. In the Western world, we're just all about doing. And so we're so busy that we don't create the space to receive, to nurture, and bring forth, as our Blessed Mother did. We're constantly distracted. I got up early today and was watching Joyce Meyer, and she said, you know, just even if on the iWatch, it beeps and buzzes, you're just constantly being distracted. I have one, and I think I forgot to turn it off, so thank God I don't have cell service, because it won't bother me during this Mass. But a lot of times it does. Our kids don't know how to sit and be still with themselves, you know, because we're just constantly stimulated. But Mary was one who quietly listened in a world of great noise and busyness and people trying to figure out how to, you know, bring about their own kingdom of God. She just quietly sat, and then this incredible life-changing event happened, the Annunciation. And she received, nurtured, and brought forth Jesus for us. And so she's the pattern of what we should be doing. We should be silently receiving promptings from the Holy Spirit, guidance from the Holy Spirit, nurturing the gift of faith, the gift of Jesus in our lives, and sharing Him with others. And so that's so important that we do that. She also teaches us to be flexible. You know, she was a beautiful person following God's will in her life, and then all of a sudden God broke in and said, well, guess what? I have a surprise for you. And this is what you thought you were going to do, and you've done everything right, but you've been chosen for a very, very special vocation. Did she get all upset? Well, that's not my plan. Can you give me more details? You know, what's it going to be like? And she just said, you're a good God. My soul proclaims your greatness, and I'll do whatever you ask of me. Be it done unto me according to thy word. One of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible. And in our world today, we want it to be done our way, you know. And we're not, you know, be it done to me, I surrender. I may not understand why you're taking my life in a certain direction, but I surrender, and you're a good God, so I will follow wherever you lead me, whatever you want me to do for you. And the last thing is that she tells us that we have to stay at the foot of the cross. The core of all sin is running away from suffering. And it's so easy to flee from that in our world today. We have drugs, entertainment, all kinds of things that could draw us away from seeing any value in redemptive suffering. I fell into that even when my dad died. I don't know if I told you this yesterday. My memory is pretty short with only a few hours of sleep. But when he died, I just fell into this deep depression. And I wouldn't even get out of my pajamas, and I just sat upstairs and watched reruns of ER on pop TV. And then all of a sudden I realized, your mom's downstairs right now, suffering terribly. She just lost her husband of almost 57 years. And here you are upstairs just thinking of yourself, running away from engaging and seeing that God has some beautiful things to teach you in the midst of the suffering. So she trusted that even in this horrific moment when she had to see her son crucified, mocked, spat upon, when all he was doing was giving to us, us ungrateful sinners, she stood there and comforted him and stood there as a sign of faithfulness and discipleship. And so we're entering into our own passion as a church with all these challenging things that are happening, and she will help us to realize that you need to stand here. This isn't the last chapter of the story. Amen? There's resurrection. But the devil wants to do everything in his power to turn us away from Jesus, to gaze upon the crucifix, and this, I want to suffer with him, be conformed to his suffering, so as to share in his deaths, so as to share in the joy of his resurrection, Philippians 3. And that's so contrary to our world today. No, I want to do things my way. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have to put up with unpleasantness from other people and inconveniences. I want everything my way. And people are just digging their feet in and not thinking of the common good and what's going on with their brothers and sisters. I mean, I even fell into that with my dad dying, so it's easy to do that. But she's a wonderful one that says, come over here with me. Be drawn into this sacred moment. God is working all things for our good, and he's especially at work in suffering. So don't run away from it, right? So she's amazing. And I could go on and on, but we only have 45 minutes. So I want to respect that, but I just want to end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our Blessed Mother. And she is our mother, the mother of the church, the Theotokos, the God-bearer. And she is right beside us, helping us, wrapping her mantle around us, providing comfort and strength and intercession so that we can get to the finish line and be with you and with all of our loved ones and with the Blessed Trinity. So we thank you for giving her to us. Woman, behold your son, behold your mother. And we just ask you to always help us to reverence her, to honor her, to welcome her, and to learn from her. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.